Lily Hahn is an appellate attorney at Yetter Coleman. In the trial court, she drafts dispositive motions, jury charges, and post-judgment motions. On appeal, she identifies issues, crafts effective strategies, and produces persuasive merits briefs. She graduated from the University of Michigan Law School and clerked for the District Court of Connecticut and for Justice Jane Bland on the Texas Supreme Court. She's going to talk to us about supersedeas and post-judgment proceedings, and with that is will Lily Hahn come up.
Good morning. I'm very happy to be here. I'm going to be talking about supersedeas in federal and state courts. So the impetus for this presentation was the 2023 changes to the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code and the Rules of Appellate Procedure governing supersedeas. But then something happened which I didn't expect. Supersedeas became a hot button topic covered by the media. And that's because two huge judgments were entered against former President Trump, and to stay execution of those judgments, he had to supersede them. Some of the themes from President Trump's supersedeas saga are relevant to this presentation. So after a $400 million judgment was entered against him in New York State Court, President Trump couldn't find a surety that would issue a bond in that amount. He moved to have the amount of the bond reduced, arguing that it was a practical impossibility to bond it and that he might have to sell some of his properties to do so. I'm not talking about this just because it makes supersedeas seem like something that could come up socially, but it shows why the new statutory provision and the rule is so important. The statute requires courts to accept alternative security for judgment debtors with a net worth of under $25 million under certain circumstances. Texas wanted to protect judgment debtors from exactly the situation President Trump was in. So it's very important to supersede because it prevents execution and, to a lesser degree, post-judgment discovery. Superseding the judgment precludes a judgment creditor from obtaining a writ of execution against the judgment debtor's assets. So there's an anecdote, and I'm not sure if it's apocryphal, but apparently Joe Jamail once took a $675,000 judgment against Sears into the chain's downtown Houston store, commandeered the intercom, and informed employees that he'd just taken over the store. Your client's experience of execution might not be that dramatic, but execution and post-judgment discovery can interfere with and distract from a company's ongoing business, which is why judgment debtors usually like to supersede a judgment. The goal of supersedeas is to balance two competing interests, those of the judgment debtor and those of the judgment creditor. The judgment creditor wants assurance that it will ultimately be paid, so it wants to be protected by having the judgment debtor post security and to prevent a dissipation of assets. The judgment debtor wants access to meaningful appellate review and to prevent execution and post-judgment discovery. It doesn't want to disturb its business or financial situation more than necessary. In Texas, however, the legislature has put a thumb on the scale of the judgment debtor and has over the years made it easier to post security. In 2003, I'm sure you're all aware of this, the legislature changed the law so that the judgment debtor no longer has to post security in the full amount of the judgment. And this new change, allowing and mandating the approval of alternative security, is in that vein. So with the purpose of supersedeas in mind, which I think animates how all these provisions have been interpreted, I'm going to quickly run through an overview of supersedeas in Texas, then how to discern the type of judgment that you're dealing with, and how to calculate the amount of security. And those two ideas are linked. There are different standards or benchmarks for setting the amount of security based on the type of judgment. And because of their prevalence, especially for people in this room, the presentation focuses on money judgments. And then finally, I'll touch briefly on a rule change related to appellate review and the redetermination of security.